Amen. Like you've heard, it's going to be a, well, I don't know whether I should call it panel discussion. It's not really a panel discussion, but we're going to have four of our sisters come out and minister to us or show us how to minister to different arms of the body of Christ in a few minutes each, and then we will also have an opportunity to ask questions and to interact with what they've said and with one another. And I believe that the Lord will be speaking to us as each of them talks to us. So it would be nice if you can take notes of some of the things that you're going to be hearing. So if you have any questions about any of them, then you'll be free to do that right after all four of them have spoken.
So I'm going to call the first person to minister. We will minister to us about how we can minister to our families, how we can love them, how we can pray for them. Praise God. Let's welcome our sister Lorena. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise
Jesus.
Amen.
See, we all get to be put on the spot. I was going to be seated. Sisters, I didn't know it was going to be like this. But anyway, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to reference two scriptures, Matthew 22, 37 through 39, and John 16 through 17. It would be good if our media could put the first scripture up, Matthew 22, 37 to 39. And I'm here to answer the question, how and what to pray for our families, and then how to express love and how to reach out to our families. The reason I chose these scriptures, Matthew and then John, because Matthew talks about a new commandment. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind, all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy mind. And then it goes on to say, to love thy neighbor as thyself. When we think about ministering to our families, how we ought to pray for them, how we ought to respond to them, how we want to express our love and reach out to them, to me it's no different from how we would love and pray and express to any other. This is how we ought to do it. We ought to love our neighbor, and I believe that starts within our home. We love our families, our husbands, our children, nephews, cousins, uncles, aunts. We love them the same way as we would do anyone else. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that this was the second great commandment. First of all, we don't have the capacity to love others, our families, or anyone else without the love of God first. We must love God first. So now how? So that I can stay within the time frame, I don't want to just kind of go off. But I want to answer how and what to pray for our families. How? We pray for our families like we pray for us, as I've already said. But with our families, we usually have a clearer understanding of what they're going through because they live with us. Our children, our husbands, our wives, they live with us. So when we pray for them, we can pray more targeted prayers as to what they're going through. So we pray for them just like I said, how we pray for anyone else. But it's easier to target our prayers specifically because they live with us. We know the pain that they're carrying. We know what they're going through, what they're thinking. We know so much more. So we can pray more targeted prayers. When we pray, we must pray with love and faith. When we pray for our children, we may have children that have gone astray or maybe are not behaving the way that we think they should, or we may have a spouse that there's problems, there's situations. When we pray for them, we must have a foundation of love. And when we pray, we must pray in faith, knowing that whatever needs to happen in their lives, God will do that.
Then what? What should we pray? They all have needs, just like you have needs. So we pray regarding their needs. What, again, do we pray? We pray for their prosperity. We pray for their spiritual and physical prosperity. What is it that I need? What is it that your husband needs? What is it that your wife needs? What is it that your children need? What is it that your extended family needs? So we pray according to what they need. Is it salvation? Pray for salvation. Is it their temperament that needs to be intact? Pray for their temperament. Do they need jobs? Pray that they receive jobs. Whatever their needs are, pray. Again, what to pray? Pray for guidance from God, that God will guide their lives. Now, how to express love and how to reach out to our families. Number one, I said we ought to listen to our families. You know, we see sometimes how parents especially may have a problem listening to their children. Because we're adults, maybe we feel like they shouldn't be listened to. Well, that's false. We should listen to what our children have to say. Even though God has given us the authority over them, even though we are their parents, they have something to say. And we should be willing to listen to our children. Spouses, you should be willing to listen to your spouse. How do I express love and how do I reach out to my family? I should spend time with my family. My family should not be the last one on the list to have a cup of coffee with, or to take to dinner, or to have lunch with. But you should spend time with your family. Just like you build relationships in church, you have to build relationships in your family. You don't take for granted that because they're here, everything is okay. But we should get to know our family members. We should get to know our husbands, our wives. We should get to know our uncles, our aunts, cousins, our children. How can we minister to the church if we have not yet learned how to minister and care for and spend time and build relationships with people in our own households? And a thought that comes to mind is even what Paul said about deacons and bishops. The requirements for deacons and bishops, how they ought to rule their homes well. If they have not been able to rule their homes, how is it that they can rule the house of God? So that gives you a principle there of how it ought to be in the home as well as the church. So we should listen, spend time, make time, and build relationships with our family members. Also, we should try to understand them. We don't always take time to try to understand. Maybe there has been some kind of conflict in your family. Maybe a spousal situation or with the children, a conflict in your home. And sometimes there could be one that doesn't want to hear what the other one is wanting to say. Maybe something needs to be explained. So we need to try to understand what they're saying, what their needs are, why the hurt came. We need to learn how to sit down and talk about it. We need to try to understand and try to understand their needs, especially parents, mothers, and fathers, the needs of our children. Sometimes they go to school and they're bullied. They come home and then they're in a bad attitude. And instead of fussing at them, or saying something, you know, out of the way in a very adverse way, we should say, honey, what's wrong? How was your day? And then that baby will open up the door for them to speak. And the same with our spouses. Try to understand their needs and what they're going through. Number four, we should try to comfort them. Maybe they lost a friend. Maybe something happened in a relationship, a close relationship. Maybe even an animal passed away or whatever. Some of you may not look at that as important, but we should try to comfort our loved ones, our family members, when they're hurting. Number five, we should advise them with wisdom. And for us Christians, it's not godly wisdom, not according to the world, not worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom. Not the wisdom that is from the world, but the wisdom that comes from God. And then also, number six, we should offer assistance where needed to our family members. What is it that our children need? How do they need us to assist them? Our husbands, wives, various family members, how can we assist them? And even though this is way down the list, but this is by no means the last thing, to love unconditionally. You know, sometimes we find it hard to love one another when you have been hurt by that person. Or maybe your child has done something that's unforgivable, or your husband has done something that you think may be unforgivable, or your wife. But the Bible says that we should love with that agape love, that unconditional love, that regardless of what has been done to us, what has been said to us, how we may have been hurt, we still love unconditionally. And number eight, we should not judge or condemn our family members. If we're not going to judge or condemn those in the church, don't do it to our family members. Our children don't need our condemnation, do they? Our children don't need our judgment. They need love. They need love. Our spouse doesn't need our condemnation, do they? Our wives, our husbands, any of our relationships don't need judgment or condemnation. And we should speak the truth in love. You know, many times when we're raising children, they will go off the track, so to speak. Maybe not in the line or according to the rules of your house. And we'll get real upset because of what they have done. And there are parents that condone, you know, wrong behaviors. But we are to give them the truth. We speak the truth according to the word of God, and we do it in love. Number 10, don't condone or excuse wrong behaviors. And 11, learn how to forgive. And don't punish them for past sins and hurts. And as I was reading or writing that number 11, I thought about husbands and wives. Many times we punish each other, even though we say, I forgive you for whatever that hurt is, but we find little ways to punish each other because of what has been done, the hurt that that spouse has caused, or maybe even your children or someone else in your family. We are to forgive and not punish them. So remember the scriptures that I gave, Matthew 22, 37 through 39, that we are to love God, and then we are to love our families as ourselves. They are our neighbors. And then John 3, 16, it talks about how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But the emphasis is in that next verse. He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So as we minister our families to our families, remember these scriptures, and we won't go off God's track. Amen. Amen.
Wow. I know Sister Yolanda had a very hard time there. This is a topic that is so difficult to do in just 7 minutes. You've done 14 minutes, which is double the time. But I tell you, everything that you said was impactful. No, you don't have to be sorry, but I know that, I mean, we wanted to keep to time, but I believe that the Lord has spoken through you. I believe he has ministered to us. So please, let's pardon the extra time, but hopefully we'll be able to make up for it somehow, you know, maybe with the time for meant for questions, or maybe if others don't have some, they're not going to take up so much time, but if the others can stay within 7 minutes, that would be great. Thank you so much, Sister Yolanda. We appreciate you, and we thank God for ministering through you. I would like to call on Mama to come and tell us how to, or guide us on how we can minister to the church of God. Praise the Lord.
The Lord is on the throne. How to minister to the church is very easy. In Acts 2, the church started. And since then, the church has been marching on till now. And to minister in the church, the Bible tells us that we should not forsake the assembly. You want to minister in the church? It is easy. Do not forsake the assembly of the church. And the most important thing, you must be saved. Because you give out what you have, not what you don't have. I'm talking about serving in the church. Serving in the church. To serve in the church, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, four, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. In 1 Peter 5, 2, do it willingly, not having it in mind that, oh, I must get something. If they don't give me nothing, I'm not for that. It's to the Lord. It's to the Lord. And not only joining the church, not only being saved, but you have to be a worker in the church. Are you interested in music? You know what gifts you have, and you want to use it for the Lord. Use it. Usher, space is there. And another thing that is most important, if you want to be, serve in the house of the Lord, people will step on your toe and you will just smile. They will step on your toe. They will look at you with one face. Just smile. Not only that, if you want to serve, be ready to be corrected. And when we correct, when the people correct you, they do it in love, as we have read. And love in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians says, love covers many sins. Not me to tell you, Sister Yolanda, you know, I did what I should not do. Can you pray for me? Oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, okay. And I went to Dr. Ojo. And I said, do you know what happened? Uh-huh. Don't say I tell you. Serving in the church means you have to keep secret. And it is saying to the Lord, when you reveal, it means you backbite. The Bible says you backbite. Because your sister came to you sincerely to help her pray, not to broadcast, not to be CNN. Mm-mm. Serving in the church, you have to have humility, humble heart, a teachable spirit. If you don't have it, the Lord says, ask for me, I will give it to you. And serving in the church means to be a servant. A servant. Our pastor. I praise God for him. I praise God for Pastor Michael Obi. He is truly a servant in this place. And that's how we ought to be. If this our spirit is in you, we have to follow our master. And who is our master? Jesus. Jesus is our master, our example. And the time is up. So.
Mama could talk for the next 1 hour on serving the church. She's probably served the church of God for over 50 years of her life. So if you ask someone to come and do that in 7 minutes, you know it's a tough job. But she's done a good job. Thank you, Mama. We appreciate you. And I'm sure the Lord does even much more than we do. Sister Balmati, please help me welcome Sister Balmati to come and guide us as to how we can minister to the community. Thank you, ma'am.
Good morning. I thank the Lord. It's a privilege to be able to come and share what God's Word says, how to minister to the community. Let's see here. And I wanted to how to minister to the community, and the emphasis was how to express love and how to pray for them. And for just to stay on target, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 8, and I'll just focus on 8, and you guys could just read that on your own. And on verse 8, it says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecy, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. That it will vanish away. So the emphasis here is on, let me go back to 7, is on love. And so how do we express love in our community? That our lives will be filled and overflowing with the power of God's love. If we don't have God's love, we cannot pour out what we don't have. And a lot of times we could say we love others, but sometimes if they rub us the wrong way, can we still love them? If we're tested, can we still love them? So to truly love the way God commands us to love, we have to love ourselves first. We have to allow God to do a deep work in our heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I quote that verse for years and years and years before it become a rhema word in my spirit. So God's word, as you pray God's word up, it will not come back down void. So begin to stand on it. Begin to pray in the areas where we are weak. He is strong. The areas where we're needing him to step in and help us love unconditionally, he will do that for us. And the significant thing that we can do in this life is not based on our outwardly appearance. It's not based on our talents and gifts. The significant thing that we can do in this life is simply to love God and choose to love others. Some practical ways to love others is to show patience with those around us. Extend kindness to others. Help us to cast aside feeling of jealousy or hatred towards others. Help us not to hold grudges, but choose to forgive. And that's a hard thing sometimes. When someone hurt us or someone we have poured and poured into others, you know, and we have to choose to forgive. We have to choose to love unconditionally, even when it is difficult. Another way to express love, you see a need, you meet a need. It can be a monetary need, a food need. It could be a clothing need. It could be so many different things. And the other part that I was asked to do is how to pray for them. And I wanted to go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. How do you pray for someone who just say, I need prayer? Well, Paul talks about this, a beautiful prayer for the church in Colossians. And one of the first things he said is the spirit of wisdom. So Paul says we continue to ask God to fill us with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, Colossians 1:9. So here we are praying for that person. We're viewing the life through the same lens that God views it and filters every decision through the wisdom found in the Word of God. So in different categories, we could use that God will give them wisdom to lead their family, that they would be good stewards over their finances and make wise financial decisions. I'm still praying on that for my life. And finally, that they would cultivate good friendship. That is so important for us to cultivate good friendship. So the second thing we could be praying for, not only that God give the spirit of wisdom, but we could pray for their spiritual walk. Paul says here, I am praying that they may live a life that is worthy of the Lord and that you would please him in every way, bearing good fruit in every way, increasing in the knowledge of God. As I look back at my life, if people wasn't praying for me, I wouldn't be here today. So I thank the Lord. So here we are praying for the person. We're praying for their conduct. We're praying for conversation. And we're praying for their character. Isn't it important to have integrity? Be consistent with how Jesus lived his life. We are to pattern ourselves after him. He went about doing good. And we should go about doing good. And Paul then said the key to living a life that pleases God, he says, by increasing in their knowledge of God. So the next thing and the last thing, he prayed for that they would increase in the knowledge of God. As they learn more, their character, their conversation, their conduct will be changed. Hallelujah. And they're now being convicted by the Word of God. We need to be convicted by the Word of God, which should lead to a life that is more consistent, the life that Jesus lived. So the third and final thing that we could pray for is their weaknesses. In Colossians 1:11, Paul prays that they would be strengthened with power. So we could break this down in different categories. First of all, if they have a physical weakness or a physical issue that the person is dealing with, we could pray that they would experience the power of God and be strengthened in the midst of that physical weakness or an emotional weakness. Maybe they're discouraged, they're discontent, depressed, or they have anger issue, or they're just giving up on life. Just pray that God would strengthen them. If there is a spiritual weakness, if they may be having an attack or some sort of spiritual warfare, or there might be a strong temptation that they don't know what they're dealing with, just pray that God would give them the strength. And more specifically, Paul prayed that they will have great endurance and patience. So here, if you know somebody that's dealing with a difficult situation, it may be a loss of loved one, a financial strain, a wayward child, a broken relationship. Pray that God would give them the endurance, the ability to bear up under a difficult situation and not turn away from God. That is so important, that we do not turn away from God under a difficult situation. As we become stronger, we will stand with others and help them become strong and stand with God, stand in what God's word says. And not give up on the faith, but to have the patience to wait for God to work things out in their life. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, dear sister. That's another very powerful preacher that we asked to come and talk for just 7 minutes. I know she could go on for 17 minutes on this topic, but I'm sure these are just nuggets that the Lord is giving us this morning, and I know that the Holy Spirit is going to expand each of these, you know, thoughts and hints that he's giving us in our hearts in the name of Jesus. So let's welcome our sister, Delight, as she guides us on how to minister to the youth. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I'm supposed to be talking about how do we minister to the youth, to young people, to people in the community. And many times when I hear this topic being talked about, people are like, oh, try to be relatable to the youth. Do things like, be like them so that you can like reach out to them. Try to be relatable. Try to make them know that you understand what they're going through. But what I've realized is that the main thing in ministering to young people, people on college campuses and everywhere, just the people in general, is sincerity. Just modeling the life of Christ in your own life and living true to that in your everyday work. Just modeling that behavior
attract people to you. Because a lot of young people growing up, like, you, your parents will lie to you about, oh, Santa Claus is real and there's the tooth fairy and things like that. And then over time you begin to, like, distrust adults that, oh, maybe they're also trying to tell me this just to gain something. You know, or, like, why did tell me about religion? Is it just because they want me to live a certain kind of lifestyle? You begin to distrust whatever you're being told. But the main thing I've realized is sincerity. How do we model God's life in our everyday activities? How do we model Christ in our everyday, day-to-day life? I've seen in my discussions with a lot of people, I am best able to reach out to people when I have spent time personally studying God's word and growing in my own faith. Because if you see something that you like, you're very excited to talk about it. So when I've spent time, like, talking to God and building my own faith, then I find it very, very easy. I don't have to, like, plan or, like, write an outline. Just I find it very easy to share what I've learned. So the main thing, and that I think that's the main thing I want all of us to take away from today, is just model Christ in our everyday life. Be excited about Christ. It sounds cliche, but spend time studying God's word and just, like, spend time in his presence and wake up and sing and, like, enjoy time with God. Just build a relationship with God. Because when you do that, then it's easy for that to pass along to people around you. Praise the Lord. And then quickly before I round up, if you can open Luke 17 verse 9. Luke 17 verse 9. Because sometimes when I see people a lot, they're like, oh, I preached to someone today. Yay, I did something very good. The Lord should reward me extra and something like that. But it's very good to realize that this is just a commandment from God that we have to do. Like, it's not like something that we need to receive a trophy for. But Luke 17, verse 9, if we can have it, yeah. Okay. So here, Jesus is telling his disciples that when we do things, we should just do them because it's God's command to us, not because we are waiting for a reward. So he said, go back to verse 8, please, so we can start from there for context. But the master would say to him, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. Continue. Next. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done what was our duty. I also think it's the last line, we have done what was our duty, is very important to take back. Like, ministering to people around us is not something that we should take for granted. It's God's gift to us. And the best way to do it is by modeling God's lifestyle, which in church we hear God gives us, like, day to day of, like, oh, this is how I want you to live the life that will attract people to me. Because Jesus Christ, a lot of times he had, like, big sermons, but most times when people saw his life and saw the glory of God upon him and saw the favor of God upon him, because God gave him favor with God and men, they were attracted to him. And when they came to him and asked him questions, he's like, oh, so why are you shining like this? Why are you just glowing in God's presence? You're like, well, let me tell you the secret. So that's the lifestyle that God wants us to have. And when we do it, we should just know it's God's command for us. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Wow. I think this is really rich. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to summarize this, but I think I have been so blessed from all the 12 points or so about how we can minister to our family, how we can pray for them, how we can relate with them, how we can show them the love of God, to how we can minister in church. I mean, one thing that I took from Mama's talk was that people will step on your toes. You know, I don't know if any of us, if we've been stepped upon since we got to this church. Has anyone stepped on your toes? I want it to be real. Anyone stepped on your toes since you became a member of this church? Even if you've only been here 2 weeks. You know? Okay. Some real people there. Yeah. So we are all real. We are all human. And so we are all prone to, you know, making mistakes, to offending.
But what I take from there is, don't take offense. It's easy to take offense. It's normal, it's natural. But we need to ask God to help us. And from Sister Balmati, we could go on and on. I mean, she's been an evangelist. So if you ask an evangelist to come and talk about going out there and meeting people where they are, you know, that can take her a whole day. But we thank God for, you know, all that the Lord has set through her. I wrote down so many things about how we can reach out to people, and especially using the passage of the Bible to I think it's Colossians, to pray for people. Coincidentally, I used that a few days ago to pray for myself, and you know, seeing her talk about how we can use it to minister to people, to pray for them depending on what areas of needs that they have, is very important. And finally, you know, Delight just killed it, like young people would say. She just went, look, don't go out thinking that you've done you know, something that's a big deal when you have served the Lord, when you have ministered to people. And especially, you can't minister to people if you are not real. You know, just be yourself. Model the life of Jesus Christ. Someone said that, I mean, I think, it's Paul in the Bible, says that we are the Bible that people are reading. You know, young people can easily spot a fake from very far off. So if you say you want to minister to them and your life is not in consonance with what you're telling them, you can be sure you're not getting anywhere with them. So first of all, be the person that you want them to be. When you are that person, you don't even need to talk to them. Praise the Lord. Has anyone been blessed here? Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. So we have, definitely because a little bit of time has been taken, we have less than, we were supposed to have about 15 minutes for questions. We have just about, we still have quite a bit. 9 minutes for questions and answers or contributions. So we would like to hear from us. You could choose any of the four areas: ministering and praying and loving your family, your church, your community, or the youth, the young people around you, whether you are a young person yourself or you are an older person who has a lot of young persons or young people around them. So, over to you. I know we are all ministers, like we said earlier, so I want to learn from you too. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord.
1 minute, ma'am, please. Everybody, 1 minute so that we can have like 10 people. Yeah.
Okay, then I'll just talk of one thing. From the family part, especially with our children, it's very, very important that we keep our eyes on our children, especially the young ones, to be able to, you know, spend time with them and give them time. Sometimes you can even go behind them to see what they are doing. That happened to me. My first son, I think he was 2000 when he went to the first time, when he went to college. So myself and my husband, we went to see him, but he was not in the hostel. I don't know if I've told these two people the story. Then I just felt like checking. So he had his backpack on the door. I just pulled it down and I saw a form they give them to sign. And as I was going through, he said, they asked of them, what is the best part of coming to college? And my son said, the best part of coming to college is getting away from my parents. Praise the Lord. So we love this child. We spend time. We did everything. I even go crazy about him. But anyway, later on when he came home and I talked to him, I said, what is this we want us to be doing? Why is it? Because we were too much, you know, enclosing him, that he couldn't go. The freedom is what he said was the part. He can go out, he can come in anytime he wants. Then I had to let him know that don't let that freedom get on you. You need to control and manage that wisdom, so you won't get out of the line that God has given you. So I was able to cancel her. I mean, cancel him, and I brought him back to the normal thing, so that freedom will not be a crime against him.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's a very powerful one. I know some of the young people here may want to respond to that and say, snitching? You know, what do you think? Do you think that's a good idea? Okay, so any other person, please? Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to talk with the community. A lot of times, you know, sometimes God sends us out and we're talking and we may come across somebody who's belligerent, argumentative. I think it's important for us to not argue. The word is alive. You know, it stands on its own. It doesn't need us to be like, well, you're wrong, and this is what this says and all this. Continuing to speak the truth in love, definitely. But when we argue with somebody that may not agree, it is no longer about showing Christ. It's about being right. And we have to remember that we want to show Christ in everything we do and everything we say. So try to stay away from arguing with somebody. That's it.
Praise God. Thank you. That was really, really straightforward. Let's stay away from arguing. Actually, you know, sometimes we think that when we go out there to share the love of Jesus, we need to defend God. No, God can defend himself. Sometimes we try to play the Holy Spirit. We are not the ones that convince people. No, all we need to do is share the word. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He loves you just the way you are. Come to him just the way you are. Don't argue, by the time you become too logical, too rational, and then you probably come to, you know, in contact with someone who probably is your match, or even worse, I mean, better than you in terms of, you know, being able to argue and make their points known and all of that, then you might even be, you know, might end up getting into a situation where you feel defeated. But that's not why you went out there. You went out there just to tell them Jesus loves them. Let's stick with the assignment. Amen? Anyone else? Ministers, all.
I also wanted to add to that outreach ministry is something that I have a heart for, and that is that when I'm in the community and I'm communicating with people, I have to also remember that God has a word for me also. So sometimes you can come in contact with people who are giving you a word, so you have to be mindful to understand that God is talking to you also when you're communicating.
Praise God. Thank you. You know, God can talk to us through anyone. I was talking with someone a few days ago, and we're like, oh, how do I know when God is talking to me? And the person said that God can actually, that he now gave an example of how God spoke to someone through a madman on the road. The person was going somewhere. Apparently, God had been trying to get the person's attention that he shouldn't go there. And then the person was on the way, and then he met a madman on the way who said, "Where are you going? Get out. Go back. Go back." This was a madman just there, right there on the street. And this person realized that, you know, somehow it dawned on him that maybe God didn't want him to go that way. So as we go out there to minister to people, let's also remember that God can also minister to us through them. Thank you so much, brother. Anyone else? We have 2 more minutes.
Mine's just really short, and it's with the speaking to the youth and Delight touching on it. just going back off of what she had said, I believe the scripture says that we should be imitators of Christ. And I think that to be able to reach out to the youth, they learn by imitation. And a lot of them grow up confused because they see you do one thing outside or in church, and then they come home and you're a completely different person. And then they grow up with this, double-mindedness type thing. And a double-minded man is, we know what that says, unstable, right? So I think we should be mindful of how we live, even as parents and as guardians. I don't know why my heart is racing. My heart is like, okay. Even as parents or guardians, how we live our lives behind closed doors matters a lot because the kids are watching.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sister Daisy. Looks like we've run out of time. We really are grateful for everyone's contribution. We are grateful for all our main ministers and all other ministers seated out there. We appreciate you all. I believe that the Lord has spoken to us, and we are going to go out there not just as hearers of the word, but as doers. Amen. Mommy Rachel is coming to pray with us. So let's stand up to pray. Do you want to stand up to pray? Okay.